We'll be in the book of Ephesians this morning if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles there. As we continue to talk about connect, when we talk about connect, we're seeking to cultivate an environment for unified fellowship of believers as a spiritual family in Christ. And what a profound Bible truth to latch onto and to gather around as we connect as a church body. This morning, we'll focus on the metaphor that Paul is going to use frequently in Scripture about connecting as Christ's body. Connecting as the body of Christ. Last time we talked about another metaphor about connecting as a holy temple, how the Bible teaches that each one of us is a living stone in the spiritual architecture that God is constructing in this age as his dwelling place here on earth, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. This morning, another rich metaphor, the church will connect as Christ's body. Well, maybe you've watched some of the nature show and or even as a child learned about some of the exotic animals that live in the plains or on the jungles. And you read about or watch documentaries on predators and prey. And the predators like to go after the prey that aren't very good at connecting. So these prey animals, like the antelope, the gazelle, the zebra, they travel in large numbers. They have a herd mentality. They connect as one, and there's safety in numbers. These animals instinctively understand this. And the predators, whether it be the lion, the cheetah, the leopard, they know that it's hard to get at an animal that's closely connected to the herd. And so what do? They go after the stragglers, the ones who are disconnected, the ones who maybe aren't paying attention, the ones who are lagging behind, or their connection is just a little bit looser to that gathering. And so it is spiritually with us. The Bible warns us that the devil prowls around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he goes first after those who are disconnected or more loosely connected to the body. And so it's vitally important as believers, as part of the church, in the church age, that we connect, that we come together and enjoy a close connection, not a distant one, not a loose one, but an active and close connection. As we seek to connect as Christ's body, number one this morning, to connect as Christ's body, we must submit to him as head. To connect as the body in this metaphor of the physical body representing Christ and his relationship to the church, our part in that, we have to recognize, of course, that he is the head, and so our role as body members, as church members, is to submit to his leadership as head. Let's start in Ephesians chapter 1, and beginning in verse 15, Ephesians 1, 15 through verse 23. Paul writes, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints," those elements that make us part of that body, faith in Christ, love for each other, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Verse 17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." That's the element of learning that we focus on as we come together to connect. "The eyes," verse 18, "of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." He's preparing us as his inheritance, purifying us, drawing us together. And verse 19, "what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion," references there to spiritual powers, demons, angels, "that Jesus is exalted above all of these and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. See, we are familiar with Jesus' earthly ministry. We read about that in the Gospels. But then we know that he ascended back to heaven, that he's at the right hand of the Father, and that God has exalted him above every earthly power, heavenly power, every name that is named, that Jesus is exalted above all, and he is there in glory. And sometimes we think of him just there, that his earthly ministry has passed, and now he's in heaven above every name. But notice that just as soon as God brought him up and exalted him, what did he do? Verse 22, he gave him. He took Jesus back up to himself, and then he gave him right back for what function? To function as the head of the church, which is his body. Then it says the fullness of him that filleth all in all, that this morning as we gather as a church body and across our country and through different time zones, even across the world, genuine believers in Christ gather together as the universal body of Christ, Jesus functioning as the head. And so we, though he is in heaven, are the fullness of him that fills all in all, filling the earth with his body. And here in our local church, as a body here on the south side of Indianapolis, doing our part in filling with his fullness by submitting to the one who is our head. So important for us to remember that Jesus is the head of the church, because that mentality changes the way we approach church. Right, since Jesus is the head of the church, no pastor can ever say, oh, this is my church and I lead it and here's what we're going to do. No outside convention or bishop can say, well, here's what you ought to do. No, Jesus is the head of the church. And no church member can say, well, I'm a founding member and I help build and I have a say and I invest it. No, instead we come to church, each one of us submitting to the head and saying, not my way, but his way. Can you say that with me this morning? Not my way, but his way. How about one more time? Not my way, but his way. As we come to church with that submission to him who is our head, that's where the unity begins. If each of us is trying to be ahead in our own ways, what is created is monstrosity. But when we all submit to him as head, healthy function can take place. Coordination can increase the fruit of our efforts. Did you know that though some of your bodily movements are instinctive, reflex, most of your movements had to be taught to your body members by your brain? When you were born, you were not much better than vegetative state in the sense that you couldn't do much of anything for your own. You had some reflexive instincts, basic survival, and basic human function. But the first thing that babies start to develop, I think I have a picture here of our youngest 7-month-old Lauren, and she is starting to develop some muscles and some movements, but it's fun to watch the brain start to teach those movements as the members of the body start to come into submission to the head. And the first thing babies learn as they interact with their surroundings is to take items and what? Shove it into their mouths. I got another picture here, slightly less fat, flattering picture of Lauren, but that's what she does on a consistent basis. I have to be careful what's around her, because the first thing her brain teaches her limbs to do is shove things into the mouth. Well, now she's working on getting up on all fours, and we get excited. Oh, look, she sat up. Oh, look, she's up on her hands and knees. Oh, look, now she's rocking back and forth. Because the brain is starting to teach the members to submit to the desire of the head. Now, teens, don't expect that same kind of praise for repeating those kind of actions, because the expectation is that as you grow, your body parts learn to submit to the instructions of the brain. That's why people can do such impressive feats. You know, I look at Sarah, who can dice an onion in a minute and it looks perfect and it takes me 10 times as long and there's big chunks everywhere. It's because she's practiced and taught her hands to submit to the brain's commands in those areas. Or when I see her hands fly up and down the piano keyboard and I'm in awe, or we can watch jugglers and say, wow, those guys are so talented. I've tried. Anyone tried to juggle and it just isn't your thing? I juggle unintentionally, like, you know, you're in the grocery store and, yeah, I don't need a shopping cart, and then you're juggling. Have you been there? But what's the problem? Like, I know how to juggle. Okay, and I tell my hands, okay, you throw it this way, you throw it this way, and then you're going to have to catch it, you're going to have to catch the other one, and they don't listen. Because they haven't come into submission to the commands of my brain, what it takes is practice, stretching, and scientists tell us that our brains have an elastic quality that can develop new strengths and abilities and even unlearn old ones and relearn new ones, and that our mental capacity can carve new paths in our the neurons of our mind to be able to do things that we formerly could not through practice and through stretching. So when I was voluntold to be the choir director here at Thompson Road, I went to these conferences and they told us, you know, how to beat the pattern. You're in 3-2, but there's also a crescendo and a decrescendo, and you're bringing someone in on point one. And anyone who sang in the choir during those years can tell you I never quite got that down. But what happens is your body develops the ability to do these things as you come in submission to the brain. Okay. And your brain can learn new. Your brain can teach your body to do things that it couldn't do before. All right, so we're going to practice this morning. All right, I've got one for you. What I want you to do is rest your left foot on your heel and just move your foot in a counterclockwise circle. It's okay. No one's watching. You can. I know we're in church. You can do it. You don't have to check with your doctor. All right, now take your right hand and move your index finger in a circle in the same way. All right, you can hide it so no one knows. It's all right. Okay, now here's where we stretch our brains a little bit. Try to move your foot one way and your hand the other. Okay, some people are carving new paths now and you're trying to stretch. All right, we're going to take it up a notch because some of you are like, oh yeah, I can do that, that's easy. All right, now same foot, right hand, same direction. Right foot, right hand, same direction. Someone's going to ask you, what was the sermon about today? What did you guys do at church today? All right, now try to do your right foot one way and your right hand the other. And try changing directions. Okay, some heads are shaking. I'm going to tell you, okay, all right, you can stop that now before you hurt something or blow a gasket. But if you go home and practice that, which a few of you will, if you go slowly and if you concentrate hard enough, your brain can teach those body members to cooperate and to submit to what you're telling them, and you'll gain a broader function. Maybe not a particularly helpful one, but it illustrates the point that as members come into submission at the head, we become more useful. We can gain new functions as we submit to the head. Okay, let's turn a few pages and go to chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read beginning in verse 12. We spent a few weeks in Ephesians 4 when we were talking about learning, and you remember the chain of learning that God gave wisdom to the apostles that have and the prophets who have written inspired words preserved for us so that pastors and teachers and evangelists can pass it on to faithful ones who can teach others also. Verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 4, for the perfecting of the saints, the building up, literally, of the saints, the spiritual workout of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, there's the word for build up, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The body is built up, strengthened, developing as we come together, as we learn together, as we do the work of the ministry, edifying each other, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. They were growing in maturity unto the measure of the stature. These are physical body words that as we grow into the fullness of Christ. That we be no more children, verse 14. But the end of verse 15, may grow up in him in all things which is the head, even Christ. So here's a visual illustration for you. Pretend this figure represents the church body. Jesus Christ is the head. Obviously, he is the fullness, but we as the body, as we edify and are edified, as we are built up and as we grow, God is filling, and you can watch the animation as it fills and does what verse 15 is talking about, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head. from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You have to read and reread and contemplate what Paul is saying there. A lot of language that has to do with the exercise, the training, the stretching, the growing that we as a church body have to experience as we show love to each other. As we edify and are edified by one another, we are growing up into the fullness of the stature of Christ. And how many know we're not there yet? That I have a lot of growing to do, that right now that body isn't the fullness that it looks like on the screen, that there is a fitting and ligaments and joints that have to be strengthened, that there are some people that maybe are healthy enough to be back but haven't made it back because there's an issue there. Or maybe we come and there are issues in our hearts that we're not willing to give over to God. We haven't come into submission to the head, or we just are spiritually children, like verse 14 talks about, and we need to grow and get stronger and stretch and submit to the head so that we can be useful for him. Okay, so how? Let's ask that question. How do I submit to Christ as the head? What does that look like? Well, obviously it begins with getting saved. You have to get saved to be part of that body. You're not even part of that body that God is using to fulfill the earth with the fullness of Christ through this body, that to even become part of it, you have to get saved. If you're not sure about that, you've ever had your sins forgiven by trusting Jesus' death on the cross as payment for your sins, then that's the first step. To make him the head of your life is a decision you'll never regret, and you'll be part of something big that God is doing, part of his body, part of his spiritual family, looking forward to eternity with him. You have to get saved. The Bible says that you ought to get baptized. That throughout the New Testament, baptism is closely, intimately connected with salvation. That you get saved, and then as a step of obedience, you ought to get baptized. We are baptized into the body of Christ, in a sense. And that happens when you get saved. You're spiritually baptized into the universal body of Christ around the earth. But you can get baptized, then you can join a church. Most of you have already done steps 1 through 3. If you haven't, think about your next step. As you want to grow, we don't want any part of that body lacking. That God wants this to be an independently functioning body, submitting to him as a head that commits, that performs his work that he has for us here, that he has for us to invest around the world, and that he has for us to pour into those with whom you have connections in your life, that God wants to advance his kingdom through the body work at this church that each one of us has to play a part. Join a church. If you've never done that, talk to us. See what it's about. You don't have to commit certain things or sign anything or commit this number of gifts that you'll give, anything like that. It's just looking at what the Bible says, and we've tried to represent that in our Constitution and becoming part of this body officially by sharing your testimony with us and joining. And then the step most of us are on, and it's a lifelong step, is 4, to get involved. To get involved. It's not enough to be saved, to get baptized and join the church, and then just come and sit. Doctors will tell us about all the danger of the sedentary lifestyle, and those of us who sit at a desk a lot have to be careful about that. And those of us who just come and sit at church a lot have to be careful about that. That we get involved, that we are active, that we are serving, that we are doing the things behind us on these banners that aren't just cute words, but are biblically core values for the New Testament church, that we need to be worshiping, sing, that we need to pray and give, and all those areas of worship that we need to learn. That if you're not here, you can watch the video, you can listen to other great pastors and evangelists and missionaries speak through podcasts and download videos, sermon audio. You can read books, you can learn and connect. Get involved in your church by connecting with these people that are members of the body. That can be a challenge for some, but it's part of getting involved. And then serve. As we serve, we're getting involved in a ministry. We're not coming here to be consumers. It's not about me, it's about him. Not my way, his way. And so I want to come and be used by him. As I get involved, that's how I stretch and work out and grow and to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. So now, to submit to the head, I'm trusting Christ as Savior and saying, okay, not my way, His way. You be the head of my life. And to get baptized or to join the church, I'm doing something that is a stretch for me. It's a little bit uncomfortable because I don't like to get in front of people, or I'm uncomfortable about water, or I'm too old for that or too cool for that. Instead, I'm going to say, no, I'm going to stretch and do that. It's easy to have the mentality that says, no, I just can't do that. No, that's just not one of my strengths. Well, what would a trainer tell you? We have to stretch. We have to develop new strengths. And so most of you are like me. I would hazard a guess that if you're standing with your knees locked, you're not able to touch your toes. It's been a while for me. I'll just be honest. I'm the only one in my family that is that stiff, I guess. But what would a trainer tell you? Hey, 30 seconds every night is all it takes, and in a few weeks, that flexibility will be there. Okay? And you can't go into the gym and bench 300 pounds, most of us, a couple of you maybe. But what happens? You start small, and you work, and you work, and you work, and over time we develop strengths that we didn't have before because those muscles, those tendons, those joints are coming into submission of what the head says, this is what we're going to do. And the head says, look, what's healthy is we're going to have kale salad for lunch today. And your body says, no, I think I'd rather just have half a box of ice cream sandwiches. And the head says, no, we're going for a run. And the body says, oh, I think I'd rather just lounge on the couch. And that's how we are spiritually, that Christ is motivating us to be active for Him, to be involved. And it's so easy to go, no, that's not my thing. I can't do that. We have to be willing to stretch and to grow in strength and be used as the Lord wants us to. So maybe there's someone here who you've just had a weak connection with church, that you haven't really come into full submission with the head, that you've been loosely connected to the herd, if you will, that you've been kind of part of the body that just reports, you know, every so often. You'd be challenged from God's word today that the weaker that connection is, not only will you suffer spiritually, not only will you be a greater target for the devil spiritually, but the rest of us are handicapped when one of the members is missing, or one of the members has a loose connection or is not trying to follow the Lord. You know, we read about the disease of leprosy in the Bible, and one of the things that makes leprosy, it's really a skin infection, but one of the things that makes it deadly is that it does nerve damage that after a while, and many people who have contracted the disease will lose feeling in their extremities. And then you've heard about how you can bump against things, knock against things, and not feeling the pain do great damage to your body, and pretty soon fingers or even hands or toes and feet start to come off, hastening death. Because what happens when we experience pain? It's not like when you put your hand on the stove that your hand is just really mad about that because hands don't like to be hurt. No, it's your brain firing and saying, shoulder, jerk that arm back because the hand will be damaged to the detriment of the whole body. And so if we have a numbed connection to our head, it will be to the detriment of the whole body spiritually. For all of our sake, for Christ's sake, for God's sake, as He fills the earth with the fullness of the Lord, fight, grow, stretch, build up to maintain that connection, not to be a child, but to grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. Only 2 points this morning. Number one is to submit to the head, and quickly, number two is to value each other as members. That's it. To connect as Christ's body, we submit to the head, and we value each other as members. Look at chapter 5 and verse 29. Paul says, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. That none of us hates our body. We don't hate our body. What that means is not that you necessarily always love the way you look, but what it means is none of us goes, oh, I'm thirsty and there's water right here, but I'm just not going to drink it because I hate my body. No, we nourish our body. We cherish our body. We try to meet the appetites that our body longs for. In the same way, We wouldn't say, I'm right-handed. I just really don't like my left hand, and so I'm not going to take care of that one. I'll just take care of the one I like. No, we know that all of the body has to work together. And imagine you're going for a morning jog, but your right foot and your left foot aren't getting along. Okay, how's that going to go? And here you are standing here on the sidewalk looking kind of silly, saying, all right, guys, we got to get this figured out because this jog is good for the body, but it's not going to happen if you two are tripping each other, so we've got to coordinate. But maybe is that how Jesus feels sometimes when members don't value each other, aren't submitting to the head, aren't valuing each other, and so there isn't the coordinated effort for ministry that there ought to be because there's someone in this church that, though a member of the same body, you can't look him in the eye. You don't want to sit next to her. You couldn't pray with that person. You can't stand shoulder to shoulder in ministry and advance the kingdom because of something he said or something she did. And that disagreement that we sometimes cherish and hold up our own rights and hang on to bitterly is actually detrimental to the whole body because now the left foot and the right foot are tripping each other and holding the rest of us back. One more passage, 1 Corinthians 12. You've read this from Paul. He talks about how that diversity in the body is so important, that each one of us has a place that pleases God, that we're going to be different, we ought to be different. None of us is more valuable than the other. So 1 Corinthians 12, and starting in verse 12, Paul writes, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Okay, so as we seek to look around this room and as others that come back and join us, that we understand that not only need we submit to our head, we have to value each other as members of this body that God has led to be founded here and has blessed and flourished over the years and used to invest in ministry here and abroad, that we have to value each other as members. And he says, whether they're Jew or Greek, whether they're bond or free, or baptized into the same by the same Spirit, made to drink of the same Spirit, baptized into the same body, the body of Jesus Christ, verse 13. And so in a church of our size, there's going to be people who don't see eye to eye, people you won't naturally get along with. And it's easy to start to slip into the high school clique mentality and go, oh boy, here's this person again. Oh, boy, here comes this character. Oh, great, he wants to talk to me. Poor me. Oh, great, she wants to sit with me. Oh, boy, this person's sharing a testimony again. Oh, there's another solo from this guy. And we start to maybe develop an attitude of superiority and could even start to harbor the ugly thought that, well, you know, our church would probably be a little more attractive to visitors if this guy wasn't around. We need to look carefully at our own hearts because that's where the ugly is, if there is that kind of partiality and favoritism. Because let me ask you something, as that person, maybe someone in our church body is coming to mind right now, were you baptized spiritually by a better Holy Spirit than he was? Were you baptized into a better body of a better Christ than she was? Because what God sees when he looks at a church member is one who is a valuable member of his body, one that he died for, when Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for, and gifted for a specific purpose in the church that he has called that person to. No, we're not better off without that person. No, our church is not more attractive to the Lord without that person. Yes, if someone is living in open sin and unrepentant and not interested in changing and growing, then according to what the Bible instructs us in church discipline, yes, you know, the church would be better off, purer without that one. But anyone who wants to do right and is here to learn and to serve, to neck and worship, the God has led them here and values them. And verse 15 says, if the foot say, because I'm not of the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. God put you here as it hath pleased him. That you could sit back and say, well, I don't know if I can say, you know, I could never sing in the choir. I could never teach a class. I couldn't share my testimony at the men's prayer breakfast. Or I just can't pray in front of someone else. Or I can't sing when other people are around. And we have to remember that God gifted you as it pleased him. God led you to a church that pleased him for you to serve at. And he continues, verse 19, if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but one body. And to combat against favoritism, partiality, a judgmental spirit, verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Our less honorable parts, on those we bestow more abundant honor. And there's going to be surprises someday when the awards are given in heaven. There's going to be surprises when maybe the less comely parts that God says, well done, good and faithful servant. You may not have been gifted in the same way as others, but you are faithful. And you got involved and you stretched and you worked out spiritually to become the faithful, involved member of the body that I led you to represent me, fill the earth with my fullness. So takeaways as we look to bring some of this with us as we go our separate ways. Number one, join the body. If you're here and you haven't joined our church, or maybe you're not from this community, you need to join a Bible-preaching church in your area. You can see us about that. It could be that we're not as complete as we ought to be because God wants to lead you to join us. Number two, let Christ lead and grow you. That's what I'm willing to say. Okay, I'm not going to, when a ministry opportunity presents itself, I'm not going to allow my fleshly response to reign when it says, no, I can't do that. Well, I'm not gifted in that area. But instead, number three, I'm going to reach out for a stronger connection. I'm going to stretch. And what that looks like is doing more, getting involved in a deeper way, investing in a greater level. And say, I'm not satisfied where I am spiritually. I need to grow up into a perfect man, into the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. God still has growth to do in me, and that growth isn't going to happen if I sit there happy with where I am, or even believing that I can't grow, can't be used of him in the ways that he's calling me to, that I'm being challenged to grow and be used, because I have the mentality that says, well, I can't do that. Well, it's true you can't, but God can stretch you. God can grow you. God can build you up. God can equip you. So if you'll say, I'm here, I'm faithful, I'll do my best to do it, and I'll grow into it as we go. That's what it means to let Christ lead and grow you, and to reach out for a stronger connection. so that God can use Thompson Road Baptist Church as his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all.